My name is Scott Gardziella, and I'm the executive pastor here at Genesis Church. And we just want to welcome everybody who's watching online, guests as well as our regular Genesis attenders. And before we continue in worship and in word this morning, I want to just talk a little bit about some of the guidelines that we have been following that have helped us make the decision to go only online for the next couple of weeks. First of all, I want you to know that we're motivated by love and not by fear. You'll hear more about that during the message today. There's a lot of fear in our community, in our world right now. We want to make sure that what we're doing is prompted by love. So we've chosen to do what we do in order to minimize risk to our community. We've chosen to submit ourselves to the guidelines of the health department. We've formed a health team of some health professionals here in the Genesis community to guide our policies and to guide our procedures. And as a result of their recommendation, then we have chosen to cancel all of our regular activities at the Genesis Center through April 4th. The office will remain open, and it's possible that some crisis ministries may take place at the Genesis Center as the health team approves those. But in order to minimize risk, we also have to recognize that we want to maximize ministry to those who are affected in our town and in our community. So this afternoon, there will be a meeting here in the Flex Room at 4 o'clock. We'll still keep our social distancing, but we want to brainstorm with some people who have a heart for reaching people in our community. And so what we'll be talking about is what are the emerging needs in our world, and especially in Petoskey, that we can stop and think about, but then go from thinking to doing. We'll talk about how we can mobilize as a church, but what's going to be most important, and again, we'll talk about it a bit in the message, is how you as an individual can get out among your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers and serve their needs, to be Christ in our community. We're also going to be trying to ramp up some different spiritual ministries. For instance, the kids, Genesis Kids lessons are available on the Facebook Genesis Kids site right now. If you want to go there, you can download those. We'll try to get them up on our website. So parents, you can be working with your kids at home on the lessons they would have been learning here at Genesis. Also, we're investigating a ministry called Right Now Media that will get you an opportunity at home to access for free some excellent teaching tools from people like Tim Keller or Matt Chandler. There's great kids' videos, etc. We're working hard to have that up hopefully by the end of the week so that you have opportunities to continue to enrich yourself during this time. How do you contact us at the Genesis Center when you're not able to come to the Genesis Center? We can always pick up the phone and call. We will answer it or return your call. You're certainly welcome to email, but we'd really love to have you start using our text number to text Genesis at 412-2866. That's 412-2866. Text Genesis. If you want prayer, text Genesis, 412-2866. If you need to sign up for something, 412-2866. I'm hopefully sounding like a radio commercial by now. If you have a question, if you run out of toilet paper, 412-2866. And I'm actually serious about that. We'll help you out. We would just love to know that you're at home and watching. And so maybe you just want to text, we're here, we're worshiping with you. We'd be encouraged to know that. We've had a few people ask about giving, how that's done when you're not here as well. That can be done online, through our website, through our app as well, or you can mail something in or drop it off.
Good morning. In response to what we're all going through in our community and around our world, today we want to talk about how to deal with anxiety, suffering, and the coronavirus. And what we're going to do, this talk is going to have kind of three parts. They're going to be brief. We need to deal with our heart. I'm going to talk about that. It's the inner part of you. We need to deal with our mind, our brain, what we're thinking. And then lastly, we're going to talk about, Scott's going to come up and do the thinking part. And then the last part is going to be the hands. What are we going to do about it? And we're going to do a little Q&A at the very end about that. I'm this morning not saying anything new. What has happened in the last several days is just completely off the charts. I don't have much of a context for it. Unprecedented is the word that I keep thinking about. You know, there's a world pandemic. It's affecting more than 120 countries. I mean, it's real. It's here. And the thing that made it real to me, one of them, was when the NCAA tournament was canceled. I mean, that spoke to me, a sports person, that the NCAA would walk away from $1 billion on the table during this time. It's real. And, you know, there's nothing on ESPN now except for squirrel racing. One little tidbit. Sometimes I kind of keep score on things like this, but Genesis Church has at least one in-person gathering every week over the last 14 years. We're not afraid of snow, but the coronavirus has taken us down. And I think in this time, I just want to say this. It's important to laugh. It's important to, you know, not freeze up on everything. And so maybe you're reading memes, and that's helping. That's helping me a little bit. I just wanted to show one meme, if you could put that one up there. This one I related to. Maybe you've never seen one of these before, but literally these were up in gas stations all across the country when I was growing up. And this meme goes on to say, if you've ever used one of these, you're supposedly immune to any or to everything. It was nasty. I remember as a kid thinking, why would anyone touch that? But we need to have fun and we need to laugh, but we also need to be very honest. We need to be very honest with each other. And some people right now are completely paralyzed by fear, and it's obvious. There's anxiety at a heightened level, and some of that you see by outward signs, like buying all the toilet paper in the stores or by emptying Meijer's like a beer can. It's some people, it's outward. You can just see it. And other people, it's inside. They're really not saying anything, but inside they're ripped apart. And they're really struggling. Kind of when it hit me was I went to see my mom, who stays in the villa here in town at the nursing home. And I went to see her on Wednesday, and I was not permitted to go into the building because of, as they told me, these were just precautionary measures. But it really shook me. It really disrupted my heart. And it really communicated to me that this, again, this is real. So how do you deal with this? How do you deal with anxiety? How are you dealing with it? How are you dealing with the suffering? And the suffering that may come, how will you deal with it? And I want to talk about the heart. So what is the heart? The heart is the center of who you are. It's the seat of your emotions. The heart is that part of you that wakes you up in the middle of the night when you're stressed, when you're worried, when you're concerned, when things are uncertain. And right now, your heart may be saying to you, what I was depending on yesterday or a while ago is gone. I was depending on a trip. I was depending on these funds. I was depending on this, that, or the other thing, and now it's gone. And your heart may be saying, what am I going to do? You're waking up. You're wrestling. If you own a business, you're concerned. You're greatly concerned about future prospects. If you're a wage earner, you're wondering, will I still have a job next week? Your heart may be disrupted. C.S. Lewis wrote a book years ago, a classic, called The Problem of Pain. And I highly recommend it to you if this topic is of interest to you. And in this book, he makes this quote. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is rousing us right now. He's waking us up. He literally is. And what is he saying to you as he wakes you up? What is he saying to you through your heart? He may be saying to you, you're not anchored. You're like a boat without an anchor on a windy day. You're getting driven this way and that way. You may feel like you're on your own. You're lonely. There's a lot of loneliness that can be experienced when things are out of our control. And you need something. You need someone to give you stability in this storm. There was a guy named Isaiah, who lived 2,800 years ago. No, not Isaiah Thomas that played with the Pistons, not that guy. Isaiah the prophet. He lived 2,800 years ago in an ancient kingdom called Judah, which was a part of ancient Israel. And this guy, Isaiah, he had a rough job. I mean, he had one of the worst jobs you could ever imagine. He was a messenger from God to the people, the Jewish people. He was a messenger. His job was to bring God's message to the people. And you know what his message was? The message from God to the people was judgment. It was stop sinning or die. Stop sinning or else. It was just, that's the way it was. If you read through Isaiah, that's what you see. And it was not, by the way, it was not a popular message. It was difficult. It didn't have a lot of likes on Instagram. I mean, it was rough. And it would be like today if you were a salesman selling cassette recorders door to door. You would get turned away very much. And this was Isaiah. This was his lot to bring this message to the people. And not only did he have a rough job, but Judah was in a lot of trouble. Judah was being regularly attacked by the Assyrians, the world power of the time. They were continually knocking on the door, and the Assyrians were a ruthless people. They would lay siege to a town. They would break through. They would either A, kill everybody and destroy it, or B, haul away your wife, your children, and other people to another land and rape the land. And so Isaiah lived with this terrible job and this daily tension. But at one point, he got a message from the Lord. He got a direct message from the Lord. And it was a message that I want to pass on to you today. And it was a message for Isaiah. It was a message for him in his time of heart disruption, if you will. It was a message for the people to hear, and it's a message for us. And here it is. This is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I highly recommend in this day you memorize this passage. And in the middle of the night when you wake up, you bring it up and you work through it. So do not be afraid. This is the Lord. So do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is God's word. This is instruction from the Lord. And there's two basic instructions here that I want to briefly mention. And the first one is this: do not fear. Do not fear. And you may be like, I mean, imagine Isaiah is like, what do you mean do not fear? The Assyrians are knocking at the door and I got this sucky job. I got this terrible job. What do you mean do not be afraid? The people hate me because of my message. And then the Lord says this: do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God was saying, I am present, as was prayed earlier. I am present. God is present. He is here. He is near. You are not alone. Even with this social distancing that we're all submitting to, God is there. He is right there. We only need to turn to him. And some of us, we've turned away from God. We've kind of been on our own. We've been doing it our way. We've been controlling everything. And now it's like that's all getting stripped away. And he's still there. And all we need to do is turn to him. I love the title of this book, The God Who Is There. He's there. He is the God who is there. And you can tie your heart to this. You can tie your heart to him. And so do not be afraid, for I am with you. Here's the second one. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed by these circumstances. This is what God was saying to Isaiah and to the Jewish people and to us today. Do not be dismayed. Dismayed means it's like distress that happens when something terrible that is unexpected occurs. You get dismayed. You get this scorn on your face and this discouragement. And he's like, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And there's a lot in this to think about, a lot into this to consider about God's greatness. Again, he's near you. He's there. You just need to turn to him. and remember that he is the Lord. His name in the Hebrew Bible is Yahweh, which means the one who is. When you turn to God, you are turning to the one who is. He is the God of creation. He spoke it into existence. You think of this universe that we live in, and there's a dude that put it into motion, that put it into existence by his word. That's what you have at your disposal. He says, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. He's the God of the resurrection. He raises the dead. He can raise any situation. He can change any situation. And your heart can trust in him. Your heart can trust in him. Jesus said this. He said, trust in God, trust also in me. And so our hearts don't have to be troubled. Our hearts don't have to be floating down the river. We can actually tie them to God, to who the Lord is. Now, it ends with some promises. Look, if you decide to tie your heart to him during this time and forever beyond this time, if you decide to trust him by turning to him, and you decide to really put your hope in his power, there's some promises here, and this is what it says. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, those are encouraging things to hear. Those are encouraging promises. But I do want to say this. I do want to point this out. It does not say to those people, the Israelites in Isaiah, it does not say, I will take away the Assyrians. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that I'm going to take away what's going to happen because they were in rebellion. It doesn't say that. God says to them that I will strengthen you and help you. It doesn't say he's going to take away our difficulty right now. He may, but most of the time, God doesn't work that way. He works through us, his people. He strengthens us. This is what it's saying here. He will give us help. And he will uphold us with his mighty, his righteous right hand. I believe this is the message we need to hear today. And I believe that God is, as C.S. Lewis said, is rousing us. The Lord is awakening us. He's saying that we put our hope in other things instead of him. And it's being stripped away. And now we have the chance to turn to him. And now we have the chance to trust in him. And now we have the chance to see him work in us in mighty ways, to strengthen us and to uphold us. Here's the thing. Everybody puts their ultimate hope in something. And it really boils down to two things. You either put your ultimate hope in yourself or you put your ultimate hope in God. And here, this is a great time as families are gathered, I hope, listening in. This is a great time for you as a family to put your hope in the Lord. Johnny, our youth pastor, Johnny Whitcomb, we had a text exchange this morning. He's not in here. He's like the Secretary of State, okay? So he said, this is something new. In a time unlike any other, I'm excited to see how God uses this moment. See, this is a man who is trusting the Lord, who's put his hope in him, whose heart anchor is attached to him. And I encourage you. So how do we deal with anxiety, suffering, and the coronavirus? We have to deal with our heart. And I encourage you to do that. Secondly, Scott's going to come right now. We have to deal with our head. We need to deal with our head.
Thanks, Norm. It has been an amazing week of change. Just last Sunday, we were in this room shaking hands, joking with one another, and today I'm talking to a camera, and personal contact seems to have been abolished. Information is changing so rapidly that my head is spinning. Monday, it was part of my job to sit down and say, well, we need to begin addressing this situation. And Tuesday morning, it was, well, things are starting to get serious. We need to make sure we have a decent action plan. Wednesday, it was, well, when we gather on Sunday, we're going to have to encourage people to make sure they're using the hand sanitizer and, you know, maybe not shaking hands so much, fist bumps, etc. Thursday morning, it was, should we even be meeting? Thursday night, it was, we're not meeting. Everything was changing, and my head was spinning. But in the middle of all this, here's some good news of what God has been doing, not just in our world, but I want to share with you what God has been doing in me, because not only is the world changing, I have been changing. I've been changing in my thinking. And what I want to do today is to encourage you, like I've been doing, is to rethink your thinking. Now is the time to rethink your thinking, because your mind is a gift from God. And it is vital to your understanding of Him and the world around you that you use it well. But here's the truth. Your mind, your brain, your thinking makes mistakes, because it is still becoming the mind of Christ. It isn't there yet. And because it's becoming the mind of Christ, there's still some areas to rethink your thinking. If you haven't changed your mind in a while about something, if you're that stuck on how you think about this coronavirus or politics or anything, then either you've arrived and you fully have the mind of Christ, or your thinking has become petrified, stuck, frozen in a moment of time. And if that's the case, it's probably in a prideful state, a sinful state. So today I want to give you a warning, but then also an opportunity for changing your mind. See, the head should always be informing our heart and our hands, but by itself, if we rely only on our head, it's dangerous. It's unchristlike. And those of you who are thinkers, that might be a brand new thought for you to entertain today. So first of all, a warning. Without the heart, your head produces arrogance. If you're just thinking about this and thinking about this and talking about this and thinking about this without your heart, the result is arrogance, and that's my story. I've been thinking, you know, as this was going, come on, a lot of you are this way. Isn't this all a little overblown? That's where you were at some point in time. It feels a little extreme. I feel mostly healthy. I mean, even if I got the coronavirus, I'm hearing for some people it's not too bad. Of course, that would be the case for me. I'd get sick, but I'm sure I'll be fine. And then suggestions started coming out from the governor, from the health department. You know, we're suggesting you don't meet groups over 100, and we suggest you do this. And of course, I hear suggestions as applying to everybody but me. They sound great for you, but for me, I'm sure I don't need to follow them. I'm smarter than the CDC and the health department. I had a biology class when I was 16. You know what that is? That's arrogance. It's arrogance. And then I realized as I was thinking and praying about this, Lord, do a work in my mind, that I was unconsciously judging other people who, to me, seemed overcautious. Man, they must be really fearful people. You know, they won't shake my hand, or they're really panicking. What's wrong with them? And I was sort of thinking that way until I had someone visit with me in the office this week and said, you know, I think as you're talking about this coming Sunday, we were still planning on having the gathering here, he said, you know, rather than suggest people don't shake hands, you probably want to consider telling them not to shake hands. I'm starting to go, that's a little strong. And then he said, because it's the most loving thing to do. And I got taken aback. I wasn't thinking about the loving thing to do. I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And I was judging people, thinking, oh, they're fearful, when maybe what they were doing is loving me well by not shaking my hand. Maybe they were loving me well by social distancing. And as soon as I caught that vision, I realized that's what we need to be motivated by, not by fear, not by arrogance, certainly, but by love. And, you know, it's interesting, this arrogance I was struggling with, to be honest, we've had two sermons on spiritual arrogance, and there I am, still wrestling with it. Here's a passage of Scripture I want us to meditate on. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this: make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind with Christ. That's the verse before that. But like-minded, the mind of Christ. Now here's the key part. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. What a great word for us today. Don't be thinking selfishly. Don't be thinking about your own, this is the right philosophy, this is the right procedure, or fear, as Norm mentioned, oh, I'm all afraid. Let's think about others above ourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Without the heart, your head produces arrogance. So here's the key question. Am I motivated by love or fear? Am I looking out for my own interests or the interests of others? It's time to rethink your thinking. Another warning, just very quickly, because we'll talk about that more in a bit, is that without your hands, your head by itself produces hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus issues a bunch of woes to the Pharisees, to the legalistic hypocrites. They're sort of the counterpart to the Beatitudes, the Blesseds that we've begun studying. And he says to the Pharisees in chapter 23, verse 23, "Woe to you Pharisees," I'm going to paraphrase here, "for making up a bunch of rules for everybody and not lifting a finger to help them." They were talkers and preachers, but they didn't help anybody. And it is so easy for those of us like me who kind of like to live in our minds a lot to think and to talk and to debate and to process and to argue, oh, the government should be doing this and they shouldn't be doing that and this is ridiculous, and never help a soul. And the Bible calls that hypocrisy. And it's time to rethink our thinking. See, talking puffs up. I like talking. I like to hear myself talk. I like my ideas and I like to convince other people of them. But serving empties myself of self and lets God fill me. So the key question here is, do I spend my time talking or do I expend myself serving? Think about that over the next few weeks. How much time do you spend talking about this? How much time do you spend serving other people? Talk is cheap, talk is easy, talk is safe. God calls us to do. Those are the warnings. But your mind is a great gift from God, so let me tell you about the opportunity it provides as well. The head is designed by God to give to provide clarity to your heart's feelings. You have a lot of emotions mixed up in you right now. Good ones, bad ones, who knows what emotions are. They're just there. How do you sort them out? That's why God gave you a brain, to sort those things out. But it's got to be a brain that's run, governed by Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Right now, it's so easy to get caught up in the world's way of thinking. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind needs to rethink what it thinks. It needs to change. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, when our thinking is transformed by Jesus Christ, then it gives clarity to what it is we're thinking, and our heart can calm down. And it can move us, but in the right direction that the brain directs. You see, emotions are given by God to move us. That's why music and movies is so powerful. It wakes us up and moves us. But our mind has to be engaged to tell us what's right, what's wrong, and which way to go. And that's why in Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about finding the peace that passes understanding, and that comes from thinking on the things that are good and right and noble. It guards our hearts in Jesus Christ. So the key question here that you need to be asking yourself, are my actions motivated by fear or love? I might not shake your hand because I'm afraid. I might not shake your hand because I'm obedient to what the government says. I might not shake your hand out of love. The action can look exactly the same, but the motives can be completely different. So let your brain bring clarity to that. And finally, the head can provide direction to your hands. Actions. We're going to be meeting at 4 o'clock and forming this ministry response team. And if you're a person who's got a big heart, just kind of wants to go out there and do something, sometimes we end up doing the wrong thing or for the wrong motives again. We try to help people because it makes us feel good. And sometimes we help people in the wrong way, especially during a crisis. So we really need to think this through. I'm going to have Norm and the worship team come up as I'm wrapping up here. But here's what I want you to know. Heart, head, and hands, they work together in you as an individual, but they work together in us as a body, as a church. Some of you are very heart people. Your heart is just aching for people. Your tears in your eyes when you read stories, and you're the people that keep us motivated to helping. Some of us are head people, and we keep thinking about what's the right thing to do, what's the right direction, and many of you are just, tell me what to do. I want to help. You're the hands people, and God has put us all together to work together to be his heart and his head and his hands. Now, months from now, I hope that all of this has kind of blown by. And there's going to be interesting discussion, and all the thinking people are going to all be talking about, see, not much happened. We didn't need to do all that. Well, maybe because we did all that, that's why nothing happened. And we probably won't ever know the answer to that. But I can tell you that when we get to the end of it, I want to be able to say, I rethought my thinking, and I acted in love. So Norm, come on up. He's going to share a little bit about hands and what motivates us there.
Yeah, I want to put a slide up there from Tim Keller. Tim Keller, he's a pastor and author, and I want to, as we talk about the hands, I want to read this this quote right here. So, nothing is more important than to learn how to maintain a life of purpose in the midst of painful adversity. Nothing is more important than to have purpose in the midst of what we are going through. And that's really what the hands are all about. And thank you, Scott, for your thoughts on the head. When you have purpose, it means that you have trusted God. You've put your hope in him, and now he's going to use you to do something that he wants to do. And so we become his hands. We become his feet here. We become the church instead of, you know, scared sheep over, you know, in our houses, afraid of everything. We're his hands and we're his feet. And so, Scott, as we, we suggested some things already, but let's just kind of go through this. Like, someone's at home right now with their family. What are some things, some suggested things that they can do to be generous and to be kind and merciful to those around them? What are some ideas?
It's an important question, and one of the things I want to remind people is don't sit at home going, I hope the church is doing something. Because we are the church, individually out there. We need to be working. We need to be active. So as needs emerge, and we'll be trying to keep things up to date on the website, what are the needs emerging in our community? Childcare is one of the significant ones. With schools closed and parents are still trying to get to work, if you're somebody who's available to provide childcare, maybe that's your service. Maybe that's your ministry. You begin watching kids. That's certainly going to be needed. Students are going to be doing some classes online eventually. Well, guess what? There are some students still who don't have access to a computer. So where would they go? Well, they used to go to the library, but guess what? Starting Monday, the library is going to be closed. Maybe you can donate a computer that you're not using to a neighborhood kid, or have them come over to your house and use it so they can get online and continue their studies. Another key one is picking up stuff at the store. I went to the dollar store the other day. They still had food. And no toilet paper, but food. And you just could kind of get a sense that people were nervous being in the store. So maybe you're one of those people that just doesn't bother you so much, or you're going to go to the store anyway for yourself. Before you go, think of others, not just yourself. Mm-hmm. Call a neighbor. I'm going to the store. Can I get some things for you and drop them off on your front porch for you? You can pay me later.
Throw them out the window when you go
Throw them
by.
Out the window, yeah, as you go by.
Just kidding.
Those are the kinds of things that just, it's that think of other people, not just yourself. That's a huge one. And then finally, I guess I would mention this. We're made for contact, humans. And while it's going to have to be a little bit different, you know, we're in a time of social distancing, so what we need is spiritual closeness in the middle of that. Mm. And so I'm going to just suggest a lot of phone calling, a lot of texting. How are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Call someone and pray with them. Just say, I'll pray for you. Let's get together and pray on the phone.
Could we put the text Genesis number up on the screen for people to see?
412-2866. Yeah, I've got it memorized.
Very good. And we, you know, like, if you need prayer and you would like someone to call you, please just text us, I need prayer, and give us your name in case we don't have your number or your name in the database so that we can address you appropriately. We have a team of leaders here that will reach out. And Scott, I love what you're saying. We, though, all need to be thinking of people that we see at the gathering, that are in our small groups, that are people in our lives that maybe they're single, maybe they're older, they're not getting out, they're not to be getting out. And like you said, hey, can I get groceries for you? Can I pick up your medicine for you? Proactively calling people And we're going to have to work the phones. We don't have to do this usually. It's like you just text somebody and then be done with them. But now it's a chance to talk. Now, tell us a little bit about the response team meeting and what that's going to look like and what we're trying to accomplish.
Sure. So 4 o'clock, it's going to be really simple. I got just a little, you know, five-minute scripture that's going to guide our discussion. And then after that, we're going to be asking the question. We're going to be brainstorming. What do we see? What have you already heard are going to be the emerging needs? You mentioned economic impact. Businesses in our community, more tourist area. Hopefully things will be okay when tourist season begins. But what are the problems emerging? That's the first question. Then the second question is, how can we as a church body address that? Financially, mobilizing people, what can we do? And then the bigger question still is going to be, how can we as individual Christians respond? And how can we help people know that, resource them to get them out? That'll be our discussion tonight. We'll get that information out via emails and websites. On the front page of our website, you can click on the coronavirus tab. You'll be getting kind of every other day sort of updates on things that we're doing. That'll just give you a heads up on what's happening.
One more time, please put that text Genesis number up there. And if you're interested in being a part of that team, just text us that information, and then we'll know like how many people are coming so we can have appropriate space for that meeting here tonight. We're going to have Jay and the band just lead us through one more song of just a response to what we've heard, a response to God and his greatness. We need his help in this time. So at this time, I'm just going to say a prayer, and the band is going to lead us. And then we're going to have one more prayer at the end to send us out. Rod Anderson will be giving that. Dear God, please just guide and direct our hands here for your glory. Please put on our heart the people that are in our spheres of influence, that we will be your hands and feet, that we will truly be the church, the called out of God in our community. Lord, give us great purpose and meaning in this time, all for your glory and your honor. Amen.
Amen.